We will be reading out of Hebrews 2, 1 through 8, if you'd like to follow along. Hebrews 2, 1 through 8. It says this, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the words spoken through angels prove steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness, both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, 'What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet.'" We praise God for his word.
Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing it is to be able to think about our lives one day at a time. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us your word to give us wisdom in the choices that we make every day. And Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, especially when we leave you out of things in which you are called to be central. Lord, this world, it enamors us. It distracts us. And we have become, in many ways, so in love with it that we forget you. Lord, thank you for your Son, whom you put for a little while, a little lower than the angels, in order that he would die for us and take his rightful place as King. Lord, over the next month or so, I pray that you would continue to remind us of your absolute sovereign supremacy, so that we would know you're not only the little baby that came to Bethlehem, and even not only the suffering servant, but that you are the returning King. Lord, this morning I pray that you would specifically give us wisdom as we prepare to celebrate Thanksgiving Day on Thursday. Lord, how many of us over and over again have just let that day happen to us without giving it any really deep thought and without doing anything intentionally, simply letting the traditions work? Lord, I pray that you would give us wisdom to not do that this year, but to walk circumspectly as your word calls us to have our eyes open and to constantly seek the spiritual benefit in everyday things. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your power, your mercy. We thank you for your severity against sin and your graciousness towards sinners. Lord, would you give us a heart that delights in you as we look at your word, not only for Thursday and for the coming holidays, but every day of our lives, that whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, we would do it all to the praise of your glory as you command us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, please, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. It's after Kings, and it's before 2 Chronicles, the book of 1 Chronicles. First Chronicles 16 will be our text for this morning. And we're not even going to come close to addressing the entire chapter. That would be madness. We're going to talk about a couple of key verses, and we're going to relate it to a historical context that has great significance to our present context. How much do we really know about Thanksgiving? I've spent some time this week researching the history of Thanksgiving, and it is amazing to me how different our present Thanksgiving Day is from what has been true historically. I mean, just shout out an answer. What was the main course at the very first Thanksgiving dinner? Venison. Some of you cheated. That's good. What else? Everybody would think turkey. Turkey had nothing to do, at least historically, with the first Thanksgiving. It was deer, venison. Apparently, back in England, to kill a deer was illegal without the permission of the landowner. So when the settlers came over here and there were deer all over the place, I'm sure they looked at one another and said, let's whack these things and barbecue them, right? How about this? How many of you have been taught that Thanksgiving is to be a solemn religious observance? It wasn't at first. In fact, it was a three-day feast that included eating, obviously, and games. They would even have marksmanship games with their guns. And that was meant to do two things. One, to have a little fun, and two, to send a subtle message to our neighbors who actually lived here before we got here that we could kill people. We don't know a lot about Thanksgiving. What we do know is the traditions that we've been handed. Turkey, stuffing, mashed potatoes, football. And so as we go into this coming week, I wanted to take a step to the side from the Gospel of John for a few weeks, and we'll get into Christmas stuff starting next week. And I wanted to just pause and ask the question whether or not we're going to really celebrate Thanksgiving or not. See, Thanksgiving's a holiday that can easily become something else, can easily become Turkey Day. And I don't want any of you to yell out passionate, tear-filled confessions, but at the same time, how many of you are really excited for mashed potatoes or stuffing? I like the cranberry stuff that slides out of the can whole like dog food. I love that stuff. I love it. Turkey, perhaps. Pumpkin pie. The Lions game. And if you're honest with yourselves and with me, again, not shouting out an answer, how many of you would celebrate Thursday's Thanksgiving Day the same way whether or not there was a God? How many of you would gather around family, whether God exists or not? How many of you would eat turkey, whether there's a God in heaven or not? How many of you would eat pumpkin pie and even watch football, even if no God existed? See, there's a real possibility, friends, that at the end of Thursday's meal, you may end up just like the turkey was before the meal. Stuffed, but dead. Filled with things and empty of power. Glutted with the fantastic fixings of the traditional holiday and godless in your heart. Now, as your pastor, it's my responsibility, among many things, not only to teach you the Word of God, but to teach you to live a life that is God-centered. And a key to doing that is asking probing questions before we do things that we could easily do simply by tradition, simply by habit. And so the question I want to ask today is, do you plan to celebrate Thanksgiving in a way that God not only is a side dish, but the main course? My responsibility, once again, is to encourage you to live a life that is intentionally God-centered. And I fear that for many, Thursday will be the beginning of six godless weeks instead of six God-centered ones. My fear for you as your pastor and as your friend is that on January 2nd, you will wake up and you'll say, there it went again. So let's be intentional about it now and ask whether or not we're going to really thank God on Thanksgiving or not. Now, first of all, let me say this. There is absolutely no biblical command to celebrate Thanksgiving at all. There's no Bible verse in the scriptures that says the fourth Thursday of the month must be celebrated by the eating of turkey. It's not in there. It might be in the Apocrypha, but it's not in the scriptures. So I would not judge any of you if you didn't celebrate at all. In fact, biblically, I'm not allowed to. Colossians 2:16 says this, "Therefore no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day." This means this, we are not allowed to judge one another on the basis of whether or not they celebrate special days. This is not a biblical command. And friends, if you wanted to not eat turkey on Thursday, you have my blessing. I will. I'll take one for the team. But this is not a day that is a biblically commanded holiday. We need to know this. On the other hand, there is no biblical command to celebrate any holiday. If you would, please, keep your finger here in 1 Chronicles and turn with me to Romans chapter 14. In Romans chapter 14, we're going to ask the question, is it commanded that we observe these special days? In Romans 14, starting in verse 5, let's start in verse 4, just to give it a little bit more gravy. It says this, "Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day, listen, observes it for the Lord. And he who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who eats not for the Lord, he does not eat, and he gives thanks to God. For not one of us lives for himself, and not one of us dies for himself." Celebrate Thanksgiving Day on Thursday, or don't. I don't care. This is the only thing the Bible commands, that if you don't celebrate, it is because you don't celebrate to honor God. You fast, let's say, because you want to honor God by not eating. If you want to do that, do it. The only thing that the Bible commands is that whether you eat or not, you eat for God. Now, isn't this strange? Have you ever thought of this? Have you ever thought that you might be dishonoring God by having one of the quaintest, if that's a word, just most emotive family traditions in the whole calendar year? Notice what else Romans 14 said. It said, if you eat, you eat to the Lord. Well, that's the question, isn't it? When you sit down for Thanksgiving dinner, when you have this special day, is it about God? You don't have to eat. But is it about God? Because if you don't eat to your own glory, you dishonor God. And, friends, if you eat to your own glory, instead of eating to the glory of God, you dishonor God. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope you agree when I say the single most dangerous and heartbreaking thing in the world to do is to dishonor God. And it would be real easy to sit at the table and do what we always do and have always done. And maybe that's great. Maybe it's not. Maybe God has been the one person you have not yet invited to your meal this year. There may be reasons to celebrate Thanksgiving Day that are not primarily about God. And those things may not be necessarily bad. I mean, it's good to celebrate tradition. Family's good. Food is great. However, these reasons, whether good or bad, are not biblical reasons. The only biblical reason to celebrate Thanksgiving Day is that you are thankful for what God has provided for you and done in your life. Unless that is a central part of your observance on Thursday, the day is not a holiday. It's just a meal. a get-together, a party. Thanksgiving, whether you mean the day or just the practice, the day is not to be found in Scripture, but the practice of Thanksgiving is a very biblical idea. Even though the holiday is not commanded, to give thanks is commanded. So I put it this way. Turkey is good. How many of you agree with that? Some of you don't like it, but most of you do. Just let me know, I'm not alone. Turkey is good. Idolatry is bad. Right? And so as long as turkey is turkey, good. See, my voice just cracked. It's middle school, you see? You want to go to dance? You know? As long as turkey is turkey, it's good. When it becomes a distraction, when it becomes the center, it becomes an idol, and it is bad. Turkey is good, but empty feasting is bad. What can be more idolatrous than taking a holiday called Thanksgiving and making it about the food? Turkey Day. Which always cracked me up when people say this. Happy Turkey Day. Well, the only one who's not happy on Thanksgiving is who? The turkey, right? Happy Ham Day. Oh, the pig is dead. So what I'd like to offer you again is, first of all, a reminder of 1 Corinthians 10:31 that says this, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, listen, do all to the glory of God. Whether you drink, and that's water, orange juice, cider, whatever. Or whether you eat turkey, cranberry sauce, whatever. Do it all to the glory of God, and to fail to do so is sin. And to fail to do so is dangerous to your life in God. You may end up like the turkey, stuffed but dead, filled but empty. Let me suggest to you a five-course Thanksgiving feast based on 1 Chronicles 16. Now, the context of this passage is really outstanding. In 1 Chronicles 16, David is bringing the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, and he even made a tent for the Ark of the Covenant to be in until the temple was constructed. And they were celebrating the day that the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes God's presence, came to God's city. Notice in verse 1, it says this, and they brought in the Ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. Now notice this in verse 3, very important. He distributed to everyone, both man and woman, to everyone a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a raisin cake. An appetizer, a main course, and a dessert. Why? Because there's something about feasting and thanking that goes together. And David didn't want everybody to be thanking God with growling stomachs. So he made sure everybody had food. So when you're eating your food on Thursday, I don't want you to feel like a sinner. I don't want you sitting there going, oh, this turkey is so good. I'm probably going to hell. No, not necessarily. That's part of it. But it should raise your affections toward God and his goodness to you, not simply the food itself. In verses 4 through 7, he sets up people to be responsible for the Ark of the Lord. And we won't get into that. Let's skip to verse 8 and begin to talk about this song of praise. And let's hope that it stirs within us a desire to follow these five things. Let's read verses 8 to 10. It says, oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. First of all, let's talk about the idea of giving thanks to the Lord. In Hebrew, this word means to throw up praise, to just lift it up and toss it into the air. This idea of thank you, God. Thank you, God. Make sure you put your food down before you do it. Thank you, Lord. This would include remembering. This would include all the things that we'll continue to talk about the rest of our time together. And this would require us to say thank you and to mean it. We have to be thankful. How many of you on Thanksgiving have, as part of your family tradition, where you have to say thank you to God? Now, I know what you're thinking. Before you say thank you, you have to really be grateful. Have you ever heard somebody make their kids say thank you? I love it. You say to your kid, say thank you. They go, thank you. And you're thinking, wow, my tears are flowing at this point, right? What an overwhelming emotional response. But is that what we do on the fourth Thursday of every November? Thank you. And we just shove our faces full. In order to properly give thanks to the Lord, you must first be thankful. Are you? Because if not, you have a few days to get that. Starting today. But in order to be thankful, you must intentionally set your mind on the things of God. And this requires a little time and a little effort. So take the time in the next 4 days and ask the question, what has God done for me? What is he doing for me? What does he mean to me? And make a mental list or a list on paper and come to Thanksgiving dinner with your family prepared. And make them all look bad. What might this look like? Well, how about on Thursday morning, when you wake up, take time to think about what God has done. Ask you questions like this. What do I have to be thankful for? Really? Remind yourselves that the great things in your life are all from God, including holidays. We are commanded to give thanks to the Lord. That's the most general one. It encompasses, I think, all the rest of the things. Look what else it says in verse 8. Give thanks to the Lord. The second thing, call upon his name. This would indicate that prayer is to be central in thanksgiving. And if it's to be central in thanksgiving, the act of giving thanks, it must be central on thanksgiving, which is the day where we are to give thanks. How could you possibly give thanks without talking to the one you claim to be thanking? It'd be like this. Somebody gives you something and they walk away and you wait till they're a block away and then you go, thanks. Well, does that matter? You have to tell the person when they give it to you. In the same way, we should talk to God and thank him, literally praise him and pray to him and thank him for the things that he has done. We should call on his name. We should bring him in to this and make him central. Now, what might this look like? How about a more sustained prayer than the hurry up and eat pre-meal blessing? Now, some of you probably have more self-control than I do. But when we have Thanksgiving, just our family, that prayer is one of the quickest prayers all year. Because you got a table full of stuff that smells really good. And you bow your head and it's like lightning coming out. Thank you, Lord, so much. Then face down into the pie you go, right? So maybe not before the meal, maybe after the meal, maybe during the meal. Slow your guys down a little bit and say this, why don't we pray not for the meal, but to God and thank him. Let's call on his name and ask him to be among us and to be blessed by us. I don't know. I don't. Not all these are going to work to everybody's preferences, and I get that. I'm sure you can come up with other ways to make a time of prayer central to the giving thanks of God. Maybe after the meal, you and your family could spend time praying with each other. And not just rub-a-dub-dub, thanks for the grub. Maybe. Notice it goes on to say this. Give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. We are to let others know what he has done. We are to let him know, let others know, excuse me, what he has done. Share with the people around you what you specifically have received at the hands of God. And not only this, but pray for the missionaries who are all over the world telling others about the great deeds of God. Speak of his wonders is the other phrase. There's two phrases here that say basically the same thing. In verse 8, it's make known his deeds among the peoples. And then in verse 9, it says speak of all his wonders. God should be the central theme of our conversation when we give thanks. Instead of sitting around the table going, wow, these potatoes are a little dry. Maybe we should sit around and say, there's a God who blesses us over and over again. And here specifically is what he has done. What might this look like? Maybe take turns sharing things for which you are thankful while you're enjoying your turkey and stuffing. Here's a tip. Announce it ahead of time so people would be prepared. Have you ever had this happen to you? You sit down at the table and you have no idea it's coming. And then, you know, somebody at the table says, let's go around and share what we're thankful for. I'll go ahead and start. And they take all the best stuff. You know, thank you for life. Thank you for creation. All this other stuff. And you're thinking, So think about it ahead of time. Be ready. So when somebody suggests it, say, boom, I got it. And then list off a bunch of stuff and sit back and enjoy it. How about this? Encourage people to be specific. What has God blessed you with? Well, his love. To which I would say, yes. Specifically, though, what do you mean by that? Well, his love, yes, but in what way has he shown his love to you? Here's another tip. Be gracious to the kids at the table. Because you know what they might say? They might say things like this. I'm thankful for candy. And you know what you say? You say, praise God for candy. I mean, if they're 16 and that's the best they can come up with, well, read your Bible to them, okay? Help them out. But be gracious and celebrate the innocence of youth. I am thankful for sunshine. Good. Celebrate that. Encourage the little people at the table, or in certain cases, at the other table, to be part of this. Teach them that God is to be present on Thanksgiving Day. The next thing we're told to do is in verse 9, sing to him, sing praises to him. This is said twice in the Hebrew text. Sing to him, sing to him. Two words, different words, similar meanings. Why? Because this is really important. And this is where it gets a little uncomfortable for you, doesn't it? The text says to sing when we give thanks to the Lord. Do you have the guts to start that off at your table? See, the hard part is we have these great Christmas songs, you know, and they are great. Many of them know us by heart. What Thanksgiving song do we have? Not a lot. Jingle Bells originally was written as a Thanksgiving song, but we think it in terms more of Christmas. So it's hard, but you don't have these songs. So maybe you just have to sing other songs that are about the greatness of God. Maybe you just have to do some vocal improvisation and make one up. thank you, God, thank you, God, for more than this food. You know, something like that. Right? It tastes even better now that it's been chewed. You know, just whatever comes to your head. Right? I want to copyright that in case. All of these lead to the last thing and the most important thing that we will talk about this morning. We're to give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, tell others about what he has done, sing to him. But the most important thing is not external at all. It's internal. Glory in his holy name. Glory in his holy name. In verse 10, it says, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. In what? What should make us glad? His holy name. In Hebrew, literally says, boast in his holy name. And what this can mean in our context and in our culture is that after the meal, you wouldn't just sit around in your heart, not externally, but in your heart, go, oh my goodness, that was good, and mean the meal. You sit around and you say, oh my goodness, he is good. In your heart, it's God that causes you to glory, to boast. It's him that must be celebrated. It's him that must be thanked. Glory in his holy name, who he is, what he has done. And this will be the best Thanksgiving of your life, even if you don't eat anything. Glory in his name. Notice the second verb here in Hebrew, scholars, is the Hebrew word samach, and it calls us to rejoice. Don't miss that. God does not require a somber giving of thanks, quite the opposite. So when you're sitting around the table and you're having a great time, don't do this. Well, Dom told us we have to talk about this stuff. What are you thankful for? Then, like a mighty rushing wind, the Spirit of God comes upon you, and you realize, I'm thankful for him, and there's joy. There has to be joy. Or else, we're not really thankful. We're just saying thank you. And we're not celebrating Thanksgiving, we're lifting up Turkey Day. Such things should not be. Notice the verse says, those who seek the Lord should rejoice in him. Aren't we those who seek the Lord? Let me ask you this. If a non-believer were to, unannounced, drop by your house for Thanksgiving dinner, would he or she notice anything different about your celebration than anybody else's? If not, we dishonor our God. I say we dishonor our God. So what does this mean? It means that God should be what moves us. What should this call us to? To rejoice in who God is and what he does for us. Now what might this look like? How about this? How about you sit in your favorite chair after the meal, you put your feet up, you bow your head, and you just reflect on the goodness of God. And you just say, look, I just need some time. Maybe it's in the evening when all your guests have left. And you just go and you sit where you feel most relaxed. And you just glory in this God. Happy Thanksgiving or happy Turkey Day. What you decide to do on Thursday is between you and the Lord. It's not between me and you, and it's not between me and the Lord. What you decide to do on Thursday is between you and the Lord. And you could very easily have a God-centered Thanksgiving day and Thanksgiving meal, and you could very easily leave him out once again. That's between you and God. Let me encourage you to do something, to go in the direction of making it more about him. You are not commanded to set aside the fourth Thursday of November for any reason from God. But while you're at it, why not do the best we can to honor him? Also, if you're invited over to somebody's house, you may want to clear it with them first before you hijack their Thanksgiving dinner and make it an hour and a half long worship service. This year, we've been invited to somebody's house, and I can guarantee you we will not hijack your Thanksgiving dinner. But what we're going to do this year, by the way, Jen, this morning, no, I'm just kidding, is we're going to wake up on Thursday morning, and we're going to have breakfast together, just us four. And we're going to sit around the table, and we're going to pray, and we're going to sing, and we're going to talk a little bit about this God. And I hope that you'll do something similar. I hope that your Thanksgiving dinner will not be like the turkey itself. And at the end, you find yourself full, but dead. Emmanuel Bible Church, I love you. I want to close this sermon by reading 1 Chronicles 16, 35 to 36, where it says this. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us and deliver us from the nations. Why? Why are we saved? Why? Well, it tells us. To give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting even to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. Do me a favor. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Let's pray, and then we'll continue praising the Lord together. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would grant to us an intentional heart, that we would not let this Thanksgiving just happen to us, that we would not let Christmas just happen to us, that we would take advantage of the spiritual opportunity we have in these things. We know that the celebration of Christmas is not commanded in your word. We know the celebration of Thanksgiving is not commanded in your word. So help us, Lord, to redeem the culture in which we live by making it intentionally about you. Lord, before we go any further, I pray that you would help everyone to try something, to make it a little bit more about you. I pray that you would challenge them, that you would relieve them and help them not to feel bad if they don't do everything, but challenge them to do the best that they can. For their glory and their joy and your glory. Lord God, I pray that Emmanuel Bible Church will be filled with those who seek the Lord, and consequently that we would rejoice in your gracious providence. Lord, I pray that as we spend time with friends or family or both, that we would seek to encourage one another, not only in the day, but in the Lord. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, perhaps they've celebrated dozens of Thanksgivings and never gave thanks, would you do a work in their heart that this year would be the first time they ever acknowledged you? Would you draw them to you so that this day and every day like it would be a day for you? Would you save them so that they would give thanks? Would you stir within them the desire to cry out to you, call on your name, and ask you for deliverance from their sin? We pray this and everything else to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.